The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children.
Good evening, Reading. Good evening, North State. Good evening, everybody worldwide. This is Sovereign Minds, and we have another great show for you tonight. Tonight we're going to be welcoming Stuart Rhodes. But with me, as always, we have Mark Kent.
How you doing?
Pretty good, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, the fun never stops. You know it.
Especially now that we're on the radio and we got to research it every day.
But, absolutely.
Well, first, we're going to thank our sponsors, Team Quest, because without them, you wouldn't be in shape and you wouldn't be able to defend yourself. But also, we wanted to thank Advanced Soil Stabilization. They use Technosoil for dust control on driveways, roads, parking lots, and pathways. Also, they install crushed stone driveways. You can call Todd Sykes at 530-549-4801 for more information. They use Advanced Soil Stabilization. It's green friendly and it eliminates dust. So if you've ever driven on a dusty road, you always see those signs that say, don't go, don't speed. That's because it brings up the dust. So this way, you'll be able to stop that. So anyway, let's talk about a little bit about Stuart Rhodes. He'll be coming on at 6:30. If you don't know who he is, he graduated from Princeton. He's a founder of the Oath Keepers. And I figure since it's Memorial Day, and that reminds me, I want to just kind of take a second to remember the vets, all the fallen POWs, also MIA.
Yeah, all the above, you know, the men and women who gave us all the freedoms that we're enjoying today. You know, we can't take these freedoms for granted. We're quickly losing them now as time goes by. We need to start protecting them from the people who want to take them away.
Yeah, I mean, like what they always say is what the bad man needs is for a good man to do nothing.
There's been so many people that have died and shed blood over the years since the founding of our country to give us what we got. To ignore these is an act of a fool.
Right, and the Oath Keepers, they're a nonpartisan association of currently serving military, reserves, National Guard, veterans, peace officers, and firefighters who will fulfill the oath we swore with the support of like-minded citizens who take an oath to stand up with us to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So, help us God, our oath is the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And their motto is, not on our watch. And you know what? That's exactly what we need. We need to get the military involved and everybody that swore an oath. We all in here swore oaths.
Yep. Uphold and defend the Constitution. Absolutely. So, you know, like I say, this is kind of the Memorial Day, pre-day Memorial show. So, you know, we want to keep that in mind. So I guess with that, we maybe can move on to our first subject. Do we want to go with the sound, the tape that we had queued up there, Chandler?
Yeah, we're going to play. This is our president, and we're going to be giving you 7 lies in under 2 minutes.
I'll make our government open and transparent.
Lie number one.
So that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business. Now, Justice Louis Brandeis once said, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. And as president, I'm going to make it impossible for congressmen or lobbyists to slip pork barrel projects or corporate welfare into laws when no one's looking.
Lie number
because
three.
When I'm president, meetings where laws are written will be more open to the public, no more secrecy. That's the commitment
four.
I make to you as president. No more secrecy. And when there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online and find out what's in it before I sign it.
So
sure,
that you
buddy. Know what your government's doing.
That wasn't a lie,
when there
was it?
Are meetings between lobbyists and a government agency, we'll put as many as many of those meetings as possible online for every American to watch. When there's a tax bill being debated in Congress, you will know the names of the corporations that would benefit and how much money they would get. And we will put every corporate tax break and every pork barrel project online for every American to see. You will know who asked for them, and you can decide whether your representative is actually representing you.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
I wonder if the American people can handle the truth.
Can you handle the truth out there?
They handled the lies pretty well. They didn't know they were lies at the time, I guess.
Did you believe any of that?
They certainly did. What about...
Yeah.
Are we going to play that other clip?
That's almost so funny. which one are we going after?
Just the supporters, they thought that was going to happen.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure where we're going. But,
oh, no, that's fine.
Never mind. Anyway,
yeah.
We got kind of a kick out of that than the soundbite because, gosh, these guys have been so truthful, and you know how to tell if a politician is lying, right? You know, we all know that old joke. Their lips are moving. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, our open and transparent government is not nearly as open and transparent as we've been told. Did anybody read the bill? Do we have 5 days to read those bills?
I don't think so. I believe they're still voting on them without reading them.
Yeah, I mean, lately the Patriot Act, the completely trashing the Fourth Amendment. It seems like it doesn't matter if they vote now. We got so many people crossing party lines that it seems like they're all in the same boat. So
yeah, there's a great article in the Guardian. .co.uk from Bush to Obama, the snooping goes on. The Patriot Act Section 215, just renewed by Congress, permits almost unlimited powers of surveillance of the U.S. citizen.
Yeah, that kind of takes us to our next talking point here, the War Powers Act. Did anybody really understand that, the war in Libya, and I'm guessing that's a war because when you send, bombers in and planes and they blow up things and so forth. I think that's called a war.
Well, ask the troops on the ground.
Yeah. The troops on the ground is sort of means that there's a war. And so, I don't know if anybody is aware of that, but, after 60 days, he has to get the president is supposed to go to the Congress or before the 60 days is up to get approval because Congress has the power to declare war, not the president. And, gosh, why isn't anybody really talking about that in the media? I mean, good grief. I mean, are we getting so much power consolidated in the executive branch of government now that, there's no turning back or what's going on?
Well, I believe they're bought and paid for, absolutely. I mean, how else can you take a position like Congress that's supposed to be the ultimate power and you actually get these people convinced that they don't have the power anymore? Obviously, they're doing it for a paycheck.
Well, it's just like everything else. It seems like they don't want to be held accountable. So, they just keep ignoring the Constitution. And, the real deal is that the people have to start getting involved in holding these people accountable, period.
Well, there's a good little note, I guess. There's two Democrat senators, Ron Wyden from Oregon and Mark Udall from Colorado, have accused the Obama administration of using Section 215 for purposes not intended by Congress. Russ Feingold, the Democratic senator from Wisconsin, raised similar alarms in 2009.
Wow. Yeah, I guess, let's just keep heading down this path, and then pretty soon we'll have social justice and no freedom.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, kind of takes us into our social justice thing. Gee, I was looking up and reading the law, reviewing it again. There's a book called The Law by Frederick Batiste. And there's a chapter in there, and I highly suggest that if you haven't read it, that you do, because, being uneducated and free just does not seem to work together. But the title of the chapter is The Seductive Lure of Socialism. And, this is one of the most popular fallacies of our time. People seem to think that if you have socialism and social justice, that, you're going to have law and, everything's going to be good. But the real deal is then, and this is the big lie, is that freedom and socialism are not coexistence. In other words, a citizen cannot be free and not free at the same time. You can't be free and have all these social welfare entitlement programs because you are enslaving somebody else and taking that from some other person.
Yeah, you can't have freedom of speech but limit somebody from freedom of speech too.
Absolutely. So this whole social justice is a big lie. It's about giving more and more power to the government, and the people that are on the receiving end of that don't seem to realize that if they can take it from you and give it to me, they can take it right back and give it to you, or they can just take it and neither one of us get it.
Right. I mean, I guess I see where they're coming from. They like to get all this stuff for free, but they just seem to have lost the whole point of this country, you know, so it's kind of weird.
You know, self-reliance is what built this country, and going down this social road just gets worse and worse as far as the standard of living. You know, what people don't realize is what gave us this great country and all the things that we have and the standard of living we have is the fact that we're able to reap the benefit of our labor. We could work, create things, and keep the benefit of those things and sell them. And what that does is that creates a better standard of living for everybody because that produces goods and services that everybody can enjoy. And the prices go down and down farther over time, especially if you don't have a manipulating central bank involved in the process.
Well, yeah, what do you get when people are doing it themselves and independent? Well, you get people that are going to invent better and new, better things. You know, you're going to be more efficient. But when people don't have that motivation anymore, they're just going to, I'm just going to get by and just do what I have to do to get my little check.
Yeah, it's kind of like being on a desert island, you know, and somebody's hunting. So you got, let's say you got, you know, five people hunting and five people waiting for the hunters to bring food. And so they don't want to do anything. They just want to wait for the guys to go out and hunt. You know, I mean, seriously, at some point in time, are the hunters going to continue to feed the guys who won't hunt? And is it their obligation to feed them if they don't want to do anything? I mean, that's the real deal. If everybody was out hunting and producing, everybody's standard of living would be better, period.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it's a matter of information. Somehow they've just ingrained it into us that let the government take care of us and then we'll be okay.
Yeah, just like they have in a lot of these socialist countries how many years, and you know, their standard of living keeps going down. I mean, we look at the standard of living in Europe and everybody. Oh, Europeans doing good. Have you guys seen what's happening in Europe lately? Because you know, part of this socialism and this central bank and this communism, whatever you want to call it, is that you have boom and bust cycles because as you print money and put it into circulation, what that does is that creates a boom. Only the problem is that sooner or later you have a bust, and it's usually of biblical proportions. And, gee, does that sound like something we might be going into here?
Well, yeah, and they cause them too, and that's what the problem is. They cause the booms and the busts.
Could you tell me that we're in recovery? I mean, I just want to hear it a couple more times because I might start to believe it.
Yeah, say it. We're in recovery. Swear. No, but I'm going to read a little paragraph. I mean, let's just learn from history, hopefully.
I was going to say, maybe we need to play that clip again, of A Few Good Men with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson there, because, I mean, just keep telling me.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And a lot of people can't, because, you know, we see a lot of resistance in presenting the words that we present, and I don't think people can handle the truth.
Yeah, the truth is tough because sometimes you have to hear the truth because a lot of people want to hear what they want to hear, and sometimes you need to hear what you need to hear, because I could sit there and lie to you all day long and tell you that we're going into recovery. Do you feel like there's a bunch of jobs springing up out there and the gas prices are going down and the food prices are going down and our standard of living is getting better? Or do you think that maybe it's going the other way?
Right. I kind of look at it like this. We're going down a river right now in this boat, and they're trying to tell us that there's not a waterfall right up there in front of us about 100 feet.
Well, I predict that before the end of the year, we're going to go into QE3, and the reason that we're going to is because we've got an impasse in the Senate and the Congress. They won't pass anything on the budget. The Senate hasn't submitted a budget in 2 years. So what these guys are doing is they're saying, if you raise taxes, we're not going to agree. And the other guys are saying, if you don't stop, we want to keep spending. And if you don't agree with us, okay, so big impasse. I think what they're going to do is that, you know, the end of the month is just a few days away. and the Federal Reserve is going to stop QE2. That's at an end. And if they stop putting $82 billion or whatever it is, I think it's $82 billion of, you know, money that's coming out of thin air into the economy, that's going to have that's going to have a detrimental effect when you stop the flow of that money in. And, you know, the thing is, though, what people don't realize is that the bust is coming sooner or later. You can't keep inflating the currency because prices keep going up and it's not having an effect on the recovery. And that kind of brings me into my article here. And this is from Jim St. Clair. And he writes an article here, and he's been a well-known economist in the internet for quite some time. And you can go to jsmindset.com. And what he's saying is that these stimuluses are not having an effect anymore. And each time they give more and more stimulus, the effect decreases as time goes on, so that it's going to have less and less effect, so that they can't keep propping it up. One of the things in the article is that this week we saw a European bank forced to sell its U.S. mortgage derivatives, and the loss that it incurred was a shocker. These pieces of crap, I'm reading the article, are not worth the digital bits they were written on. Smart Money has not let this event pass their view, and I know how broke the U.S. financial system really is. The event broke the camouflage. And so what's happening is, the camouflage being lifted, it allows the banks that are selling their mortgage derivatives at any price. This is like a cartoon balance sheet. The Western balance sheets of the financial institutions are raging misstatements. The system is broke. That is why this recovery is not going to have any merit. It's a statistical aberration. So I suggest that you go and read that. This is not going away. The stimulation is not going to work. And even if they start it up again, we're either going to have a collapse or hyperinflation. So there you go.
And I think it's going to happen regardless. But and it's happened before. There's a good piece by Walter Williams. It's a Minority View, he calls it. The Socialists, Useful Idiots. And there's a nice little paragraph in here. I just want to remind everybody what socialism brings us. Nazism is a form of socialism. In fact, Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. The Nazis murdered, obviously, 20 million of their own people and in the nation they captured. The unspeakable acts of Adolf Hitler's Socialist Workers' Party pale in comparison to the horrors committed in the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Between 1917 and 1987, Vladimir Lenin, Josef Stalin, and their successors murdered or otherwise responsible for 62 million deaths. And then you have China, did the same thing. These are all socialists.
Yeah, socialism is the road to communism. It always ends up there typically because you get too much power consolidated in one place. You know, that's why we were supposed to have a constitution and three branches of government as checks and balances against the other ones, because they didn't like the fact that if you consolidated all that power in one place, like, say, the executive branch, that they would just take control and pretty soon you'd end up with a dictatorship if you're not careful. But, of course, Obama would never lie to us about anything like that happening. I mean, he's probably a great guy, don't get me wrong, but you know, at the same time, what if he is lying? I'm sure that Hitler and Stalin and Mao Zedong and Castro all told those people that that's exactly what they were going to do, you know, why they were taking over the country, right?
Oh, well, yeah, Hitler was the savior. You know, if you look in the Weimar Republic, you know, they were the depression, basically in a huge depression, and 48% unemployment. And so he was their savior. He came just like, kind of like Obama, you know, the savior. So,
well, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Obama is, the devil. All I'm saying is that the problem is that when you get too much power in government in one spot, sooner or later a dictator steps in, and that is why you have a check and balance in three branches and a separation of powers. I mean, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Obama either, because Bush, if you go look at the executive orders he signed, in the case of emergency, we lose all our rights. I mean, we can't drive on the roads. They have control of the communications, everything. I mean, if you just go look up Bush's executive orders, it'll probably come up in Google.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, some of the right-wing neocons or whatever you want to call them are, you know, going with the program because Bush signed it. Oh, the Patriot Act is a great deal. But wait a minute. Doesn't it just stomp all over our rights completely? What happens if that's in place and we do have a problem with the government trying to take over our rights from us at some point? And is that going to be in perpetuity? Or are they going to cancel it sometime? I mean, what if they don't? I mean, you know, I guess it's all good if we're fighting the terrorism, but, you know, you can't give up freedom for security because you'll have neither. I mean, that's Benjamin Franklin, and that's exactly what we're talking about, that to take your freedom away under the guise of... I'm not sure what happened there.
We're having a little bit of...
I think we're having a little technical difficulty. Hold on a second. Oh,
got it.
Okay. I think one of us was going to the chat room, and we got... We probably need to turn our sound off.
That would be good.
Anyway, I was on a roll there, but so anyway, you know, we're getting better at this. We're new at the program, but as time goes on, I think we'll polish this thing right up. So
yeah, another we'll do our daily quote now. We're basically, Mark and I are going to just switch off weeks, and we're going to each bring in a quote that we think we like. And here's one I like, and I want you guys to guess who the author is. A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. So if anybody wants to know the author of that...
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one, I think, for anybody to guess that one.
I don't know.
Maybe, maybe not. See how educated our patriots are.
Well, a nation of well-informed men. If you just Google that, you'll find it. So.
Well, don't help them.
Well, it's okay. We'll help them for now.
Okay. Well, we're not giving anything of value away today. You know, silver, I think, is shooting up a little bit. We're at answer RC there. Mm-hmm. I think we're at 38. Last time I checked, about, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds ago, it was going up. And actually, it was interesting because when I looked at it, silver was going up and gold was going down. They're going in opposite directions. Now it looks like gold has turned. So mm-hmm. silver is up at 38.40 now. And gold is at 1537, and now it's reversed and started going back up again. So, you know, I think that you're going to see a trend. I don't think that the market is at all hurt by this last correction, pullback, whatever you want to call it. But I think that you're going to see that this thing go viral at some point. It's just, when does the manipulation come off? So anyway, I hope that answers your question there, RC.
Oh, yeah, and they got it. They got the right. Ben Franklin, he was right.
Oh, very good.
And Patriot, I know we owe you a movie. I've been trying to track that down. Erin from the Tea Party, actually, I gave it to her last. And so if we'll be getting it to you. Don't worry. I swear.
Anyway, so, you know, we do have some Tea Party events coming up. You know, at this point, I'm going to go over there. We got a barbecue tomorrow night at 5 o'clock at Bonnyview Baptist Church. You know, come on by, get involved. You know, the thing is, with this whole thing that's going on, you need to talk to your neighbors. You need to get educated. You need to get involved. I would be, you know, thinking that you should probably be storing some food, because if we're right, we're going into the Great Depression double dip, if that's what you want to go and call it. But a lot of people are calling it recovery. And, you know, it's like freedom and not being free. It's kind of like the opposites don't always, you know, they're not the same thing.
Right, exactly. Well, I think we're going to hit a commercial right now, but when we get back, we're going to talk about the Marine in Arizona that got shot up by the police, and we're going to have Stuart Rhodes on with us, so everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Advanced soil stabilization using Technosoil for dust control on driveways, roads, parking lots, and pathways. Advanced soil stabilization also installs crushed stone driveways. Call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. Advanced soil stabilization is green friendly and eliminates dust.
you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email Dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
Remember what to do, friends. Now tell me right out loud. What are you supposed to do when you see the flash?
Duck and cover.
There's a nice little propaganda clip from the 50s.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like the duck and cover, you know, when you see the flash.
Yeah, I love it. It's all cheery and up. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, duck and cover. Unbelievable. Yeah, so anyway, I think we're trying to get our guests on the phone. Is that what's going on right now?
Yep, calling them up.
So, you know, maybe we can talk about a couple other things right now while we're waiting on that to happen. There was a couple other headlines in the news this week. You know, one was that the UN said that there's probably going to be a dollar collapse. You know, I mean, this is the UN. You got to take everything with a grain of salt. But, you know, Wednesday, the United Nations warned of a possible crisis in confidence and even a collapse of the U.S. dollar. Wow, do you think maybe the recovery's, you know, still going on? Yeah, because of the currency problem worldwide, we're starting to see that these currencies are developing cracks all over the globe. I mean, you know, this whole currency, system is simply, you know, paper money in ledger entries with nothing backing it. So the problem with doing that is that, why wouldn't we want to have a paper system? We just keep printing money out of thin air. Life is good. We don't have any problems. We just free money. The problem is that if you have a free market, that money that they're printing is stealing from the people who are producing in the free market. If you have a farmer over here producing corn, and I print up a bunch of money, the money that I've just printed up could buy that corn, all right? Well, what you've done is the guy who's printed up the money or counterfeited it is what he's doing is he's stealing the labor of that farmer for nothing. And if you keep doing that, pretty soon, you know, it's a redistribution of the wealth from the people who are producing to the people who are not producing. Gee, does that sound familiar? We need to redistribute the wealth. And you can do that through a central bank. And, you know, they do it really quite efficiently. And they've been doing it efficiently over time. You know, I had one of the people I was talking to in politics the other day telling me, oh, we're a lot better off than we were before we had the bank. Just think about 1913, how our standard of living has gone up. But I guess the $14 trillion debt is a non-issue. And the other 80 or 100 unfunded liabilities is a non-issue, and we have to pay that all back. Do you think maybe, you know, our forefathers were free and not in debt, didn't have credit cards, and they owned their properties, and now how many of us are owning our properties or losing our properties?
Right, exactly. It's just a big takeover.
Yep, it's a land grab. It's all about private property, guys. That's what the bottom line is. The direct link between private property and freedom is if you don't have the ability to own private property. And, gee, isn't that the socialist agenda? We take it from you and give it to me. That means you can't own private property, and neither can I because they can take it from me. So nobody gets to own private property, so nobody can really be free, and the government controls everything. What a great deal that is, huh?
And I just don't understand why people would want to just sell their freedoms, you know. Yeah, okay, Obama, give me, a couple $1,000 or something a year? And they're ready to just give up their freedom and their rights for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, at some point in time, you know, the chickens are going to come home to roost.
And as they are, and unfortunately, we are going to be experiencing this in the near future.
And our children and grandchildren are going to experience this as well. So, you know, that's the problem, is that you keep passing this debt on down, and sooner or later, if it keeps growing, you know, you'll never be able to own any private property, and you'll always be subject to the person who owns all the property. And right now, who's foreclosing on all of the properties in the country? Gee, I think it's the bank, isn't it? And they printed the money through fractional reserve banking out of thin air, bought the property that the person that was selling it, and then they gave you the loan of the property while they charged you interest on the money that they printed out of thin air to buy the property with. So didn't they just steal the property and put you in servitude on debt for the next 30 years? Gee, that sounds like a really good plan if you're not in a free society. So, I don't know. Are we, is that what we want? Is that what we want, is to collapse our dollars, have these big boom and bust cycles, you know, be subject to the bankers and the Federal Reserve, and have our government get bigger and bigger and bigger? And, you know, I think that the American people is going to have to wake up and not be arrogant about the fact of what we're going into, and start really taking heed here. You know, start preparing. If you're not preparing, you need to prepare. You need to, you know, be thinking about storing some food. You need to think about precious metals as a way to offset the dollar collapse. All the above. Get involved in the Tea Party. Make, get to know your neighbors. Start preparing, because if we're right on this financial collapse, this is going to be a real problem. So I think that's enough said. Have we got our guest on the line yet?
No, he's not answering now.
Wow.
Unfortunately, but it's okay. We can handle it.
Well, I guess we'll just have to keep talking. And, of course, I'm not really good at that. But, I'll just try to do my best here. And maybe we can talk about asset bubbles, United Nations, or social justice, or whatever you want to do. So.
Well, yeah, we just have to. Everybody has to know what's coming ahead. It's happened to us before. This country's been through it. And time heals wounds, I guess. You know, people forget. And unfortunately, we're back around to the same spot where Andrew Jackson was. You know, all our founding fathers, they experienced it in Europe. And now we're here, and it's unfortunate. And like they say, stock up on food. I mean, that's maybe even more wealth than silver and gold. You know, it might be even more, it's a better thing to have, I guess.
Well, you know, I think if people want to get educated and understand this and just not take our word for it, because, we're not the geniuses that know everything about everything, and, well, maybe we are, but...
Well, I would like to, yeah, I mean, I know I'm not the only, and I don't necessarily even have a great radio voice or anything, but I know this message, and I know it's true, and that's why I want to do my part to get the word out, and this is the best way I can, because I'm not a millionaire, you know, I don't have means to do it any other way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I suggested, anybody who's really interested in understanding this, because is this going to affect everybody out there? It already is, and is this going to affect everybody out there dramatically more than it is now? Yes. But, you know, do your homework. Don't believe everything we say. You know, I suggest that maybe you pick up a book called The Case Against the Fed by Murray N. Rothbard, or The Creature from Jekyll Island. I can give you a whole list of books that you need to, read and understand this stuff, because the problem with the politicians is that they are not telling the truth. What they are doing is they are avoiding the truth, because they don't want to be held accountable for this problem as it goes gets worse and worse and worse. You know, one of the resources that I have is a couple of internet sites that I recommend. Go to goldsilver.com and check that website out. You know, and another one is the Wealth Cycle Principle.
Yeah, the goldsilver.com. You're the one who turned me on to that, and I love that site now. Another one, Freedom Force International.
Absolutely.
That's the author of the Creature from Jekyll Island's website.
Griffin, yeah. I mean, there's a whole list of books here that we can recommend that you read that we're, you know, to show you that we're not just making this stuff up. You know, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Case Against the Fed, there's one, The Meltdown, The Monetary History of the United States, 1857 to 1960, In the Fed by Ron Paul. Another one is Defending the Undefendable, Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. The Defending the Undefendable by Walter Block. There is a whole bunch of other alternative viewpoints here that we're just not getting in the media at all. I mean, you know, the Austrian school of economics is completely opposite of the Keynesian school of economics, and we're all following in the media the Keynesian economics, and that's all about central banking. And, gee, if you really understood out there that these guys were counterfeiting our currency so they can steal our wealth and redistribute it, Would you still be putting up with this? Do you understand where this is leading and where the bus cycle is going to go?
Right. It's kind of weird because everybody just chooses their side and then they're blinded to anything that may be negative to that side for some reason.
Well, the bankers have done their job very well as far as, you know, I'm reading the book, you know, the about the Fed right now. I've got several going, but the one talks about how, you know, they have these things they throw out there. You know, oh, why is the Fed in existence? Because they can stop inflation. Well, they're the only ones that create inflation because they're the ones that are printing the money, you know. Oh, they say that they have to have this because, you know, if the Congress had a hold of this, oh, they'd be, you know, they'd print money like wildfire and nobody would be able to stop them, and, you know, the bankers would you know, couldn't control the economy. Well, wait a minute. They're controlling the economy now, and we're having an inflationary problem.
And it's only a handful of men instead of a whole Congress.
Yeah, and they're not accountable. So, I mean, if my congressman, I could go to him, and I have, and said, hey, what's the deal here, guy? You know, why do we have this central bank issuing our currency? I mean, I can put pressure on him. I don't even know where the head of the Fed lives.
You know, it depends which one. You know, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, we do have Stuart Rose with us now. He's joined us, and we're going to have him on for the next 15 minutes. Stuart, are you there, buddy?
I am. Good to go.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. On the way down to Tucson right now.
Awesome. Yeah, you've been doing a lot of touring, huh? With a group of men talking about.
Well, I've been doing a lot of part of the Nullify Now tour with the 10th Amendment Center, but today we're on our way down to Tucson for Memorial Day for tomorrow, and we're going to start it off by going to the home of the young Marine who was killed by SWAT on May 5th.
And if nobody knows, heard about that, what happened there?
Well, the young Marine veteran, two tours in Iraq, Jose Guerena, came home from working a long shift at a mine, local mine, and went to bed, and his wife woke him 2 hours later at 9:30 a.m. and said, there's men with guns outside. He jumped out of bed, pushed his wife and kid into the closet, and then grabbed his AR-15, he thought it was a home invasion. And SWAT came in, and when they saw him with a rifle in his hands, they lit him up. And he died with his safety still on. They fired 71 rounds and hit him 60 times. And so I think the fact that his safety was still on was pretty telling. You know, they're trained to ride their safety until they determine that it's a threat worth shooting. And then, so I think there's a very good chance that what he was doing was trying to decide whether these were criminal home invaders or whether these were police officers.
Right.
Because Tucson's well known for criminal home invasion.
Yeah, I mean, there have been reports of neighbors that say there was no sirens and they didn't hear anything of the
siren. Well, there was. They released a home, and there was a siren that they turned on for about 7 seconds. But it kind of sounds like a car alarm. And so there's just no guarantee. You get air conditioners running down in Tucson. It's very likely people didn't even hear it.
Wow.
So the problem is, though, it's not so much what happened or didn't happen in this particular raid. The problem is this is a systemic problem across the country. When police come in like that, and it was just a sort of a search warrant in a narcotics conspiracy investigation. That was a very low threshold of a probable cause for conspiracy.
Well, sorry to interrupt. I was listening this week in the news on the Patriot Act, and it seems that these guys under this Patriot Act can now come into the house and write their own search warrants. They don't even have to go to a judge anymore, or since the Patriot Act's been in existence and they just re-upped it. So, I mean, now they can just come in and write their own search warrants just like the British did back in 1776.
Well, that's been doing that for years. That's the national security letters that allows FBI agents to pretty much give themselves, you know, approval for their own search warrants, just like you just said. So, yeah, it is a problem. But our problem with this policy here, while we're there in Tucson, is to protest the use of SWAT to serve search warrants. A search warrant should not be a death warrant. When you come in with a SWAT like that, I can't think of more of, you know, the Fourth Amendment will protect you against unreasonable searches. And, you know, when you die, that's a very unreasonable search. And so that, I think the use of SWOT light just has to stop. And one of the criteria that is articulated for using the SWAT team is whether or not the suspect may be armed. And that's millions of Americans that are gun owners. And that shouldn't be a criteria for bringing SWAT down on you. This guy had no record of any kind. He was totally clean record. And so when you have a person like that who is a veteran, who has a clean record, I think they should come in there in a different way. They could have pulled him over on the way home from work and said, Mr. Guarana, we have a search warrant for your home. Just sit tight right here, and we're going to go do the search. That would have been so easy to do. Just pull him over with a patrol car. Why go in there like this? You know, why? Because they get so used to doing this as a matter of course. And when they do this to a trained person, like a veteran Marine or a former cop or anybody like that, the more trained you are, the more likely you are to react exactly the same way he did. And that's going to lead to deaths. Because you're not going to, you know, curl up like on the floor and go fetal because there's, you know, strong-looking guys coming to your door. You're going to react in a trained manner, and you're not going to know who they are. By the time you figure out they're cops, they're going to shoot you. So this is the rest for disaster.
This kind of has shades of Ruby Ridge a little bit here.
Well, actually, it's more like Waco. I mean, David Koresh, he went jogging every day. They could have just, you know, stopped him when he was jogging, detained him while they did the search warrant. But no, they had to go in like a bunch of freaking cowboys. That's kind of the same kind of situation. You got a guy who's a tour combat Marine. Why go into his house like that? Why not just pull him over on the way home from work? You know, so easy to do.
You'd think they'd have enough.
They don't think about stuff like that.
You'd think they'd have a respect for that because obviously these guys know who they're dealing with. You'd think that they would take measures to, you know, respect the fact that this guy is a vet and has done two tours and he has no record. And just the fact that, you know, he's been there and done that, they should give this guy a little bit of slack, in my opinion.
Well, according to the Patriot Act, or no, the MIAC report, he is the terrorist.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, that's another problem. And that's another problem is that the politicization of DHS is a fact. You've got the chairman of the Southern Poverty Law Center sitting on the working group in DHS that sets the policy for training police about, they call it countering violent extremism. And so Southern Poverty Law Center is helping write the manuals that we use to train police all the way down to local level. And yes, they're going to, you know, pretty much, they want the police to think that anyone returning from Iraq who's a gun owner and is conservative is potentially their enemy. And so that's the kind of mindset they're trying to drill into the cops.
Yeah.
And so they want, and they want this kind of stuff to happen. They want the police to be used like this against their perceived political opponents.
Yeah, and then people see it happening, and then they kind of get acclimated to it a little bit, and they show that the police have the power instead of the people.
And you get desensitized. You get desensitized right. to the fact that there's a patriot. You know, this guy's a war veteran, you know. I mean, here it is. We're celebrating, you know, tomorrow we're acknowledging Memorial Day and all the sacrifices made. And then these guys have zero respect for that when they go into this guy's house. Insane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like your buddy said, you know, quite the contrary. Unfortunately, the police are being, not saying all cops think this, but they're being indoctrinated to believe, this is being done intentional, to believe that returning veterans are a potential threat to law enforcement. As though, you know, they're all potential cop killers. So, I mean, here's the problem here is that the most well-intentioned police officer put in that situation when he's, you know, in a fatal funnel in the doorway, and here's a guy with a rifle in his hands, he's going to shoot him because he's going to be in fear for his life. And on the other side of that, a well-trained veteran in the hallway and someone's crashing through his front door has no idea if it's home invaders. These guys assume these are home invaders, criminal home invaders. They're going to kill him, rape his wife, and kill their kid, and which happens all the time. In fact, in the Guarana home, his wife had two relatives who died in a home invasion just last year. And so what's going through his head?
Well, aren't they down there towards the border, too?
Well, it's Tucson, yeah, it's getting closer to the border.
Yeah.
So why put two trained professionals face-to-face like that in a friggin' hallway? What is the point?
Yeah, what do you expect?
To serve a search warrant.
Yeah. I mean, what do you expect when you put two dogs in the pen together, you know? Especially if one doesn't know or is cornered or doesn't know what's going on. He's going to be scared, you know, act rationally.
He doesn't know what this is. I mean, any trained person out there understands that if you're facing a criminal home invasion, you have to fight back. You've got to go active real quick. But, you know, of course, you're being responsible trying to identify your threat. So while you're staring over the rifle trying to figure out either good guys with guns or bad guys with guns, The SWAT team doesn't have that process. They come through the door, anybody in the house with a gun is a bad guy to them, and they're going to get shot. So how does that respect our Second Amendment rights, and how does that respect our right to be secure in our homes? They shouldn't be in our house like that. Just knock on the friggin' door like a civilized human being and give us time to answer the damn door. You know, give us time to look outside, see the squad cars, recognize the police. That's what they should do. But they wait, like, they give you at the most 15 seconds, and the justification there is you might destroy evidence. You know, and so they're putting the preservation of evidence ahead of preservation of your life.
And the Constitution. Yeah, and the Constitution. You know, the Fourth Amendment's being trashed at the same time, unreasonable search and seizure, and the Second Amendment. I mean, you know, we just don't want to have a gun or anywhere because now you're a terrorist. So, you know, and then down there on the border, it seems to me that they would be a lot more on edge as well, considering all of the, you know, things and problems they've had on the borders down there with the illegal immigration, and then, you know, the gun running through the FBI is a new story I've been hearing about. I haven't got a handle on, but it seems like these guys would be kind of on edge all the way across the board.
Well, the thing is, the homeowners in Tucson, like I said, it's a high home invasion city, and a lot of times the home invaders will come in yelling police because they want you to think it's police, so you just submit. And so, yeah, I mean, even the spokesman for the Pima County Sheriff's Department acknowledged that Tucson has a high rate of home invasion, and he said that, and that's why we had our siren go on. Well, they turned the siren off for 7 seconds, they shut it back off, then you go to the front door, and they bang on it, and within 15 seconds, they're in. You know, why not give the person more time?
Well, why not
figure out what's going on?
Why not more than 7 seconds? It seems like to me that they like to make a big spectacle, let everybody know what's going on, usually. But now it seems like a technicality. We turned it on. We turned it on so they could just say that they turned it on.
Well, usually in the drug war, the priorities are surprising you before you can flush anything down the toilet. And so usually they give you as little time as possible. And the Supreme Court has set, you know, arbitrarily set 15 seconds as a reasonable, you know, knock. Only 15 seconds. And that's not because it gives you enough time to wake up and figure out what's going on. It's just that the Supreme Court said, well, any longer than that, they could destroy evidence. So give them 15 seconds. Knock, 15 seconds later, blow, here comes the door. You know, and so in that tight time frame, and of course, if you got dogs, they're going to get shot. When they come through the door and the dog in the way, bam. So now they're shooting your dogs. How do you know who these people are? Just because they have, you know, body armor on and a helmet on, you know, anyone can buy that. So I'm just, you know, the problem is that the homeowner in the position of damn if they do, damn if they don't. If they don't react, turns out to be a criminal home invasion, they're dead. Or they're tied up and tortured and they're going to watch their wife and be raped and murdered. If they do react and it turns out to be a SWAT team, they're dead because the SWAT team is going to shoot them on sight while the homeowner is trying to figure out whether it's good guys or bad guys. It's a recipe for disaster. It's an unreasonable search to come in like that on a person with no criminal history and then put submachine guns in the face and M4s in the face of everyone in the house, and if they dare to arm themselves against home invasion, shoot them on sight. That's unreasonable, and our Fourth Amendment is supposed to protect us from that. So that's where we're going there. We're going to go right to the home where the young Marine was killed in the morning, 8 a.m. Anybody within driving range of Tucson, we encourage you to be there and take a stand for the Fourth Amendment and the Second Amendment.
Yeah, but now we see that they're using TSA. They're going to be trying to use TSA for a lot of things now, security-wise, instead of the police. What's your take on all that?
Well, that's just part of the federalization of our police anyway. I mean, they've been militarized over decades, and now they're being federalized, and this is part of that. And it'll go a two-way street. It's the fusion centers and the nationalization of the police on the one side, but also expansion of official federal law enforcement on the other side. And it's also further destruction of the Fourth Amendment. I mean, the Fourth Amendment is being ripped apart. Look at the ruling in Indiana where the court ruled that you don't have a right to even unlawful entry by police into your home. You know, it's ridiculous that they're tearing down things in existence of Magna Carta. And the Supreme Court ruling a week ago that said if a police officer knocks on the front door and listens and thinks he hears the sound of destruction of evidence, he can go ahead and just keep the door in, you know, on his own discretion. So this is ridiculous. And you know, what used to be that a man's home was his castle. You know, the wind may enter, the rain may enter, but the king may not enter. It was the ancient proverb. And now your home is not your castle. And so, unfortunately, if you want to make it your castle, you better make it a real castle. You better make it so that you have steel doors that can't be kicked in, so they have a choice but to stand outside and show you a friggin' search warrant and give you time to put your dang underwear on and look out the window and see that it's police, and like a civilized person, go to the door and open the door. So I suggest people harden their friggin' homes. Slow them down long enough so that you don't have a firefight in your hallway, so you can see it's police, and then you can open the door and let them in.
Well, Stuart, we have about 2-3 minutes left. What's on the top of your list? What, I know you're going to Arizona. Is there anything else maybe you'd like to talk about before we got to go?
Well, I think it's imperative as you face the possibility of economic collapse, all the veterans in this country especially need to get off their butts and get our communities squared away and ready. And you guys are talking about the possibility of hyperinflation. I think it's critical that we start taking responsibility for our own security, revitalize the concepts of the sheriff's posse, revitalize the concept of the county militia, the official county organization that's staffed by volunteers, just like a volunteer fire department is, because right now we're very weak communities in very weak states, and we need to correct that. And so you can go to our new site, OperationSleepingGiant.com, which is all about that, all about revitalizing those core institutions and getting veterans to take preparedness seriously.
Okay, well, really quick, politically, well, I know you used to work on the Ron Paul. You used to work with him, right?
Yes, I worked in the late 90s in his office in D.C.
And are you still a supporter, or do you know you...
Well, sure, as an individual. I mean, both years have not endorsed any candidates, and we just won't take a stand like that. But it's pretty obvious as an individual that I would support.
Yeah, one thing I always... It just seems like the media is trying to ignore him. I mean, I think...
Yeah, that was the same with the tactic last time. We'll try the same thing. But we have the internet on our side.
Yeah, that's... For now, anyway.
Right, until they shut that down, too.
Yep. Well, Stuart, I wish we had more time, but we're running out of time now. I really appreciate
you. Well, I'll come back on any time, guys. We can talk about everything under the sun.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. I'll give you a call, and we'll make arrangements.
Hey, we're going to Indiana next month. We'll announce the dates, but figure about a month from now we're going to do a protest in Indiana, too.
Well, you got to come to California sometime, Redding. We got a nice tea party for you to come speak at.
Good to go, man. Take care.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Thanks.
Well, I'm going to want to thank our sponsors real quick, Advanced Soil Stabilization. They use Technosoil for dust control on driveways, roads, parking lots, and pathways. And they also install crushed stone driveways. And you can call Todd Sykes at 530-549-4801 for more information. They are green friendly and eliminate dust, so... And Team Quest, of course.
Well, and we, what do we got, 30 seconds here or a minute or something?
Yeah.
Well, we want to go and let everybody know about the tea party tomorrow night. Barbecue at 5 o'clock, Bonneview Baptist. You know, you guys need to get doing something. Get some action going. Get involved. Do something. Go to a tea party. Talk to your neighbors. Start storing food, whatever you need to do, because we have a crisis in the financial coming. It's just a matter of which day. I mean, whether it's happening right away when they stop QE2, or, is that going to collapse us down and then have them start QE3 to get it back up there, and then it's next year. So the more time goes by, the better for preparation. But, the thing is, it's got to happen. So get out there and get involved with your tea party. And do what you got to do.
Yeah, and also I'd just like to say that the veterans, we've got to thank them and for the sacrifices that they all made, because without them, this country wouldn't exist. But we also have to not be blind to what's happening. I mean, we haven't declared war officially since World War II. So we have to follow the Constitution, get sound money. And with that, we're just going to play Taps for closing, because I think that's... appropriate right now. So
thank a vet.
Thank you guys. Yeah, thank a vet for your freedoms. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.